You're riding alone on a moonlit but starless night. You just missed your exit. Now there's only one way back home. So sit back, open your ears, and hold on tight. Because you're about to take a quick detour through Uncanny County.
Good morning, gentle listeners. This is Orson Welles, welcoming you to another broadcasting day here at KMRZ, the voice of truth here in Monroeville. We have a very exciting local news report for you today. Miss Monroeville, Meg Henderson, will be here to sing I've Got a Feeling You're Fooling. And at a half past the hour, we'll reveal to you just who will take home the blue ribbon from the Matheson County Bake Off. But first, the farm report.
Halloween 1939. Welcome to the new reality of Orson Welles. Precisely 1 year to the day after his infamous War of the Worlds broadcast tricked a nation into believing we were under attack by real-life Martians. Now, after being all but kicked out of the business, Orson is scraping by as an announcer at a tiny radio station just outside of Monroeville. Down, but not out, Orson is willing to do whatever it takes to make his way back to the bright lights of New York City. But first, he's going to have to make it through an even more challenging broadcast from deep in the heart of Uncanny County.
That sound means it's time for me to hand off the microphone for the day. But don't forget to tune in later this evening for the Monroeville Mercury Players with our all-new live production of Mary Shelley's classic tale of scientific hubris and horror, Frankenstein, or the modern Prometheus. Now, to be clear, we will be presenting a play based upon an existing piece of literature and a very popular series of films that I believe most of you are at least passingly familiar with. Tonight's presentation will be a work of fiction.
And
I am still very, very sorry about my fictional broadcast last Halloween. This is Orson Welles. Martin, they're all yours.
Thank you, Orson. This is Martin Mendelsohn and... Oh, my God. Don't move, Orson. Right behind you, it's...
Go ahead, say it.
It's a Martian!
Yes. I do believe that joke is so funny because there is no such thing as Martians, gentle listeners.
Then I suppose it's your spaceship out there in our parking lot. good evening.
Careful, they can hear that.
I shall this add it to my endless litany of apologies.
Orson, people hear you, of all people, talk about putting on a radio play, and, well, they get nervous. We've been getting calls all week. Besides, with everything going on in Europe right now, it's...
Precisely why the timing is perfect for my show. A diversion. A harmless horror show.
You're getting to do your play.
For a local audience. Though once they hear it, the Firefly Network will surely play the next one regionally.
That is not going to happen unless I do my job as a station manager to minimize complaints and otherwise cover the whole station's collective backside. Understand?
Yes, yes, I do. And I am truly sorry, Lewis. I'm sorry for the panic. I'm sorry for the boycotts, but mostly I'm sorry that the great people of the United States of America can't seem to take a simple joke.
Hey, Lewis. Here's today's County Herald for Martin's local update. And Orson, great show. I think it's about time we took you to our leader.
Speaking of jokes...
The more you let it get to you...
The more they shall all harangue me.
That's right.
On the bright side, the drawers of my desk seem to contain a never-ending supply of Mars bars.
Well, that was my idea.
Of course it was.
Look, your Frankenstein is a crackerjack show. Once it goes on the air tonight, why, I suspect you'll stand a little straighter, and all of these people will look at you a little differently.
Thank you, Lewis. You and Miss Terwilliger will not regret rolling the dice on me.
Orson?
Margaret, darling, are you ready for your big debut?
More than anything, darling. But Miss Terwilliger would like to see you in her office.
Orson, come on in. I'd like you to meet Harley Harrison and Harry Hayes.
Mr. Welles!
Heidi-ho!
Hello, and you are?
Oh, we're the advance team.
From the new network.
Well, it's not a new network.
New network? I'm sorry.
I've kept it quiet, but it's been in the works for a while, since before I gave you the go-ahead to run your little production tonight. Dear old Daddy, rest his soul, wanted me to run this station into the black, and I didn't see any other way to get us there. As of tonight, we are going national.
National? So we're joining with...
Why, Columbia, of course. CBS.
Ah, my old network.
That's the one.
But Columbia is already strong in Hobbs End, not to mention Derry and Santa Mira. Why would you need our little station?
Consolidating, shoring up our regional coverage.
And kicking me to the curb in the process.
I don't follow.
With all due respect, gentlemen, CBS destroyed me. They took everything. My reputation, my good standing, my wife. What possible reason could CBS have for buying this little station apart from punishing me?
It's been a whole year, Mr. Wells.
And over that time, you've gained more and more fans in the organization.
Really?
You betcha. Most of us there actually remember you rather fondly.
And you're only here to...
See what happens.
We're here to make sure you've still got that old magic.
It's like a tryout, Orson. I didn't want to tell you before. I knew it was going to happen, but it looks like if your little show goes well, you might just get a quick ride back to the top.
You mean to tell me that our little station is joining the behemoth that is the Columbia Broadcasting System, and our new masters have not yet requested... No, explicitly demanded that my production be canceled and that I, myself, be burned at the stake.
Now, why would we do that, Orson?
Putting you back on the air was our idea.
Actors to your places, 3 minutes. Johan, I need to test the mic by the effects. Give me footsteps. Door open and close.
Door close.
What if I forget my lines?
That's why they're on the page, Felix.
Oh, right.
Second chances are a rarity in this industry, and we shall make the most of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we will do this exactly as we rehearsed. No improvisation, no embellishment. This is my R. One shot. Lewis, where's Charlie? Who's on sound effects?
Johan. Da-da-da, I've been over the cues. We'll be fine.
Orson? Orson, darling, are you all right? You look as if you're carrying the very weight of the world.
One world? Don't forget the other one.
You're talking about Mars.
Don't even say it. That foul red planet has brought me nothing but misery.
You'll be wonderful, darling. You are wonderful. Your Victor Frankenstein will be magnificent. Why, you'll leave me behind as CBS rushes you back to New York, back to the Mercury Players, and into the arms of... Oh, I don't know. Rita Hayworth or something.
Why, Margaret Hinkle, you are delightful and I simply adore you. Watch the pauses in the confrontation and don't whine in the death scene. Kills the mood.
Right.
Hold on. Yeah, this is Lewis.
Orson!
Yes, Miss Terwilliger. Thank you for everything.
You're welcome. You'll be swell.
Thank you. Mr. Harrison, Mr. Hayes.
Very exciting, Orson.
There are lots of eyes on you tonight.
Or should we say, lots of ears?
Yes, a lot of ears. I am aware of the responsibility, and I shall not let you down.
And, of course, we do have safeguards.
Yes, a pre-recorded announcement of my voice that will be played at every break. Johan. Johan, play break record. Break record.
Break record. Okay, I break the...
No, don't break the...
Yeah, I kid.
This is Orson Welles. You have been listening to a piece of fiction. A play. Our equivalent...
The events of last Halloween shall not be repeated.
We shall see.
We shall. See?
Good luck, Orson. We'll be right on the other side of that glass.
The theatrical term is break a leg.
Oh, break them both, then. And Orson, my finder's fee, don't forget our contract.
I couldn't even if you'd let me.
Mr. Williger, Orson, come here.
Now, Lewis.
Now. Firefly Network is having some technical difficulties. There's some sort of interference with their main signal. They asked if they could pick up our show.
You're joking.
Nope. Frankenstein is going to play all the way across the state and in parts of three others.
That is magnificent, Lewis. Auspicious beginnings indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just received word from the Firefly Network. They are going to broadcast us tonight across the entire Mid-Central region.
Oh, Lord.
Hot damn!
But it's the same show it always was. The same performance. The same line, same rhythms. Breathe and embrace the moment, and we shall soar to theatrical heights that have never been reached in the annals of regional radio broadcasting.
All right, everybody. In three... two.
KMRZ takes pride in presenting the return of Orson Welles in a new dramatic production. In the single year since last Halloween's broadcast of The War of the Worlds, Orson Welles has come to be the single most infamous name in radio. The New York Times said, 23-year-old Orson Welles dropped a bomb into the psyche of the American public, exploded it, and then set the remaining pieces on fire. Time magazine declared, the most trusted name in theater is now the most despised name in America. And the New Yorker's Robert Benchley wrote simply, I hate him. I wish he were dead. Here at KMRZ Radio Monroeville, we've read them all, but we believe in Orson Welles, and most importantly, we believe in second chances. Here to tell you all about it is the director of the new Monroeville Mercury Theater on the Air and producer and star of this program, Orson Welles.
Good evening. We begin tonight with one of the greatest tales of horror ever imagined. It can be found in many forms, including a very popular series of films starring Boris Karloff. I am speaking, of course, of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Now, to be perfectly clear, what is to follow tonight is a work of fiction, one that I suspect nearly all of you are familiar with. None of the characters in our little tale are real. And tonight's broadcast is a play. Nothing more, nothing less. Fiction. It's a story. It is not real. Thank you.
And now, the new Monroeville Mercury Theater on the Air presents Orson Welles in Frankenstein.
Walton, no change?
None, Captain. You see, our situation is dire.
More ice than ocean, that's for certain. Advance and strike a glacier, sit still and find ourselves slowly trapped and frozen in place, thousands of leagues from another human soul.
Perhaps. Captain, I...
Yes, Ensign? Yes, Ensign?
I nearly summoned you before. As the fog began to lift, I saw, at a distance of half a mile, a low carriage fixed on a sledge and drawn by dogs bearing north. And the being at the reins...
The man at the reins?
Keep going. I told them it wasn't properly soundproofed.
Tell me about the man at the reins.
The man... No, not a man. It had the shape of a man, but was of an extraordinary stature. 8-9 feet at minimum.
A dream. No mere human
devil?
Could...
That, no.
That's just it, sir. No mere human... I'm sorry, what's happening?
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I've been informed that we will have to take a momentary respite from our tale for a breaking local news report.
Thank you, Orson. Eyewitnesses have reported a major fire and several explosions out of the old mill out at Route 667. Local residents...
Lewis, what is the meaning of this? You interrupt my return to radio theater with a report of a fire?
And several explosions.
I believe the sound you're hearing is that of my new production bombing.
We've dispatched reporter Walter McClintock to check it out.
Oh, good. You've sent McClintock, and just after happy hour. This should indeed be entertaining.
Those noises, you heard that, right? This is the cause, and the old mill is, what, 10 miles from here?
An eternity away, hardly local.
Orson, I remind you, we are the voice of the entire greater Monroeville area. We have to keep the people informed.
I understand, but it is a question of priorities.
The priority is the safety of the people.
Don't you agree, Mr. Welles?
Of course, but...
Hello, KMRC.
Look, as I well know, the people have a tendency to get worked up over no...
Are you Harrison or Hayes?
Yes!
It's for you.
Hello? Yes, this is he. You're joking. All of them?
Mr. Williger, it's CBS on the horn. Our network is reporting technical problems all over the country.
The whole network?
New York went down a half an hour ago, and none of our affiliates seem to be able to originate a broadcast.
So our listeners are getting nothing but dead air?
That's right. Other networks seem to be in the same boat. Almost everyone is off the air. Except for this little station.
That's unusual.
Unprecedented! Do the backup transmitters have power? Could they broadcast another signal?
That's what we'd like to find out. Mr. Williger, the CBS network would like to pick up your signal and send Mr. Wells' performance out across our national CBS network.
Well, tell them yes, of course.
You may proceed.
Wait, hold on. We're about to have a national audience?
You bet your butt!
My God. A national stage.
KMRZ will.
I have to take a moment to center myself and let this sink in.
In the meantime, we take you back to Orson Welles.
Oh, damn it!
As Frankenstein.
In Frankenstein. Not as Frankenstein. Well, technically as Frankenstein, but not the monster. Let's just play the music. The music. Pick it up again with scene two, where I begin to regale the sailors with my strange and horrifying tale. Break over! Play record! This is Orson Welles. You have been listening to a piece of fiction. A play! I mean, yes,
it
is.
Take a deep breath, my love. It will all be fine. Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize for the brief interruption. We now return you to Frankenstein.
Good sirs, my name is Victor Frankenstein, and my tale begins at the age of 17, when my parents resolved that I should become a student at the University of Ingolstadt. But as the date of my departure rapidly approached, the first true misfortune of my life occurred, an omen, as it were, of my future misery.
Oh, for the love of all that is holy.
Orson!
Calm down.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to take another
short
break from our tale of horror. Here's Martin Mendelsohn with the latest news about the fire at the old mill.
Thank you, Margaret. We just received a call from KMRZ reporter Walter McClintock, who is at the scene of the fire.
Keep it down!
Walter,
sorry.
Can you tell us what
Orson,
is happening?
My dear, are you all right?
I'm fine. Furious, but fine.
Pandemonium here. The volunteer fire brigade has only just arrived.
It sounds like the bar is open.
No one knows for sure, but people on the scene believe that it was started by lightning. Despite the fact that there doesn't seem to be a single cloud for miles.
Perhaps it was started by pink elephants, you miserable drunk.
Wait. Just over the horizon. You see that flicker?
Obviously not. It's radio, dimwit.
Green lights, but even. Perfectly even, like someone was flicking a switch.
And now he's seeing magic lights. May I remind you that the whole country is listening?
Ladies and gentlemen, someone has sounded an air raid siren, but that doesn't. Could we possibly be. There it is. Green flashes of light, but they're not like any kind of lightning I've ever seen. They're in a perfectly straight. Oh my God! They're not coming from the sky, they're coming from those things! Those things are coming from the sky! Spaceships, as far as the eye can see, but they're not like rockets, they're like flying discs or. Oh my God! They've missed us, they've just missed us! They've left a trail of fire and destruction in their wake, and now they're. Coming back towards us! I've gotta go. I've gotta get somewhere where I can.
Very funny.
Orson.
We seem to have lost contact with
Walter. Well played, everyone. Well played.
My lord, ladies
and
gentlemen.
And special kudos to Misters Harrison and Hayes and all the good people at CBS for providing the national stage on which I will receive my final humiliation.
Hold on. You think this is a joke?
Hello?
Mr. Wells, surely you don't believe that we faked this incident?
Lewis? I assure you, we did no such thing.
Martians.
Mr. Williger?
Real life Martians arrive 1 year to the day after my ill-fated broadcast.
Anyone?
Beyond belief.
It is kind of a coincidence.
Coincidence? It's absurd. Well, I will not be the butt of your joke.
Hold on. Where's Martin?
I think Martin's had a heart attack.
Oh, my lord. Go to a station break.
Johan, a break. A station break.
This is Orson Welles. You have been listening
Orson,
to a piece
you've got
of
to tell me the truth.
The truth? That I didn't fall for your elaborate practical joke?
That we're under attack by aliens. Your little disclaimer just went out across the country.
On CBS.
Darling, they think it's all a work of fiction.
It is a piece of fiction.
But Orson...
I'm not going to fall for it.
But you heard...
I heard nothing but some uninspired sound effects. The ones we used were far more convincing.
Play some music. I don't know anything.
I am not responsible for any of this, and I am signing off of the Columbia Broadcasting Network forever.
No, Orson, we need you. We need you to get in there and tell the world what is happening.
Let Felix do it.
Felix is not up to telling the world about an invasion by Martians.
There are no Martians. None. You didn't get me. You tricked me. You humiliated me. But you did not fool me. Orson Welles is nobody's fool. Oh, my lord. I am a fool.
We know, Orson. We were counting on it.
Hayes? You and Harrison are...
Nobody move.
Everyone in the studio is dead.
At last. We can remove these infernal disguises.
Anderson, Hayes, what are you doing to your faces?
Oh, my God, they're masks. You're...
Martians.
Please.
We're Venusians.
I suppose that's some sort of laser you're pointing at us.
No.
No? Then Orson, Margaret, let's get them.
As I was saying, it's like a laser, but far more advanced.
Your primitive Earth minds wouldn't understand.
My God.
I did tell you we're the advanced team.
Aliens are in charge of the Columbia Broadcasting System?
For the past 6 months.
How is that possible?
You'd be surprised. It's a new industry. No one says a word about a couple of new faces in the boardroom until it's too late.
We've also taken over most of your state and local governments. And tonight, we take down the federal government and the armed forces.
Quickly, quietly.
With you as a reasonable alibi in the unlikely event that anybody notices.
Because once an Orson Welles program was interrupted with talk about Martians...
Venusians.
Everyone would assume it's all part of the show. A real invasion masquerading as a radio play.
Thank you for catching up, Mr. Welles. Perhaps there is hope for your species yet.
I don't believe you. You can't take down our armed forces without a fight.
It's already done.
That's impossible.
Oh, no. With the right technology, it's merely efficient. You Earthlings with your bluster and bombs. Fighting to the last man? Isn't that the saying?
Orson, he's right. We've got to do something.
We've lost. They've already won.
Orson, we've got to fight back. At least try.
I don't know how.
Well, if you don't, I will.
Margaret, no! Darling.
Orson.
Don't speak.
At least I'm not whining on my death scene.
You killed her.
It's what we do.
It's nothing personal. No! Don't let him get the...
gun! This gun? I'm sorry, Margaret. I won't fail you again.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Orson Welles. As fantastic as it may seem, we are actually under attack by visitors from another planet. This is not a play. It is real. Open your windows. You'll see it yourselves. Aliens have taken over CBS. Not Martians, but Venusians. Believe me, I know how it must sound, but it is true. I don't know how much longer I'll be on the air here before they pull the plug on us or simply blow us off the face of the planet. If you're out there and you've seen anything, please dial in, call us here at the station, and let us know. Ah, oh, good. Hello? Caller, are you there?
I'm here, Mr. Welles. This is Thelma Cobb.
Thelma, glad you're all right.
I am all right. No thanks to you. I have a heart condition. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. What kind of depraved...
Next caller. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm about to head up the station, kick your tail end.
No.
My kids are terrified thanks to you.
No, they should be terrified. Look around you. See what's going on.
No, I don't mean to be rude, but you're a real son of a...
What, you think we're a bunch of idiots?
Go back to New York.
No, you must believe me. It's true. This time, it's really...
Remarkable performance, Mr. Wells.
Even better than I imagined.
Harrison? Hayes, I killed you.
No. Unlike your lasers, triple ionized thetan rays are non-lethal to Venusians. It's highly advanced.
I told you your primitive Earth mind wouldn't understand.
So that's it? Earth falls? Thanks to me?
Don't feel too bad. In a year or so, this big broadcast of yours will be all but forgotten. Once we know we are secure, we'll bury it. Write it off as an exaggeration, a tall tale.
I will know.
But your species won't. Why, they won't even suspect that their ruling class has been replaced with our doubles.
They will find out, and they will fight you.
No, you're easily distracted, manipulated. You of all people should know this.
But when they see you take charge of this planet...
They will see nothing. They see what they choose to see, and we will fill in the gaps on the rest.
You've seen the power of radio? Wait until you see what we can do with television.
It doesn't sound like much of an invasion.
Make no mistake, we will rule. Your precious country and eventually your entire planet will toil away for us, working harder and harder for less and less. Your economies will grow and your wages will shrink, and by the time people learn that your resources are gone, it will be too late.
Then kill me and get it over with.
We'd like to avoid that, Mr. Wells. We could use a man like you.
How so?
First, of course, you'll have to be back on the radio and speak to newspapers explaining how and why you staged another fake Martian attack, just to make certain there are no questions.
What do you say, Mr. Wells?
Never. I may be nothing more than a distraction, but I am not a traitor.
Very well. What a waste. He was quite good.
It's a shame he never got to do films.
You have his imprint. You could put in for a double.
Maybe, but that takes time. For now, let's proceed to Plan Beta.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Harley Harrison and Harry Hayes of the Columbia Broadcasting System, apologizing on behalf of Orson Welles. Welles took control of this station earlier today and has been putting out word of a fake Martian invasion. Again.
Although it was quite a performance, you have once again been listening to a work of fiction. There are no Martians, and any blinking lights or loud noises you may have heard outside your homes are purely circumstantial.
But don't take it from us. Take it from the man himself, Orson Welles.
This is Orson Welles. You have been listening to a piece of fiction, a play, our equivalent of dressing in a sheet, jumping out from behind a bush, and yelling, boo. Have a spooky Halloween. Good night.
Uncanny County is the unholy creation of Todd Faulkner and Allison Crane. It's produced by Todd Faulkner, Allison Crane, and William Frankie, and executive produced by Jessica Walker. Tonight's episode, The Boy Who Cried Martian, was written by Todd Faulkner and produced by A.J. Cermak and Todd Faulkner. It featured Andrew Kempfer as Orson Welles, along with the vocal talents of Jeffrey Denman, Erica Knight, Babs Wynn, R. David Robinson, William Frankie, Spencer Aist, Dan Truman, Tom Bartos, and Todd Faulkner. This is Orson Welles. Good night.